from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we'll present some segments for you, starting from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency of 3325 and 4755 kHz, website voinews.id, and RRI Digital mobile app. English program of Voice of Indonesia can also be accessed in our mobile application, RRI Digital.
Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. ₹12 trillion in transaction recorded at Jakarta Great Sale. Indonesia plans double cacao and oil palm production through replanting. Here's the news in detail, read by Steve. The two-month province-wide Jakarta Great Sale Festival promotional event made transactions of ₹12 trillion, or around $739 million. This was stated by the organizing committee head of Indonesian Shopping Center Association, Jakarta Branch, and 2024 Jakarta Great Sale Festival, Mualim Wijoyo, on Wednesday. He also said that this year's transaction value was 4% higher than the $11.5 trillion, or $708 million, in the previous Jakarta Great Sale. According to Mualim, some factors responsible for the high transaction value were up to 70% discounts offered by participating merchants, midnight sale promotions at three major shopping malls in Jakarta, as well as health checks, a badminton tournament, and price draws. President Joko Widodo has tasked the Oil Palm Plantation Fund Management Agency with doubling cacao and oil palm production by implementing a replanting program. This was stated by the Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, after a limited cabinet meeting on coconut and cacao at the Presidential Palace, Jakarta, on Wednesday. He also noted that cacao production in Indonesia has reached around 180,000 tons and oil palm production around 2.8 million. tons, with cacao export value at $1.3 billion per year and oil palm exports at $1.2 billion. Indonesia's Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry has said that nuclear power plants have been included in the 2033 National Electricity General Plan. This was pointed out by the Ministry's Director General of New Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation, Eniya Listiani Dewi, said during a panel discussion on leading up to COP29 held on Wednesday. She also said that nuclear power programs can start to be maximized. She said her side has discussed nuclear power implementation several times with the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan. The Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, said construction projects at Nusantara capital city can help Indonesia promote its steel potential. According to him in Jakarta on Wednesday, he believed that Nusantara will serve as a good marketing ground for the steel programs. Hartarto spoke highly of Indonesia's steel potential, saying it is second to none for its welding engineering capacity. The minister then emphasized the importance of Indonesia ensuring that its steel potential gains international popularity. He also expressed optimism about the labor cost of construction projects in Indonesia becoming more competitive. Secretary General of the Gulf Cooperation Council has emphasized the importance of completing a free trade agreement between the UK and the bloc by the end of the year. As reported by ArabNews.com, Jassim Al-Budaiwi made the remarks after meeting Jonathan Reynolds, the UK's newly appointed Trade and Business Secretary. The top Gulf official indicated that he sensed a strong interest from Keir Starmer's new Labour government to complete negotiations for a trade pact. Reynolds expressed a desire to ink a deal before the year is out. Labour, who were elected in the landslide on July the 4th, pledged to deepen cooperation with the UK's Gulf partners on issues of security, energy, trade and investment. NATO members have pledged their support for an irreversible path to the future membership for Ukraine, as well as more aid. As reported by BBC.com, while a formal timeline for it to join the military alliance was not agreed at a summit in Washington, D.C., the military alliance's 32 members said they have unwavering support for Ukraine's war effort. NATO has also announced further integration with Ukraine's military, and members have committed 40 billion euros, or around $43.3 billion, in aid in the next year, including the F-16 fighter jet and air defense support. The bloc Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said support to Ukraine is not a charity. It is in Ukraine's own security interest. The state leader was welcomed by chairwoman of the presidential office of Laos, Kemani Polsena, the governor of Vientiane, Atsafantong Sifanton, Laos Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Bon Lua Pandanovong, Laos Ambassador to Vietnam Kampao Antavant, and Vietnamese Ambassador to Laos Nguyen Pa Hung. As quoted by VOVWorld.vn, his first overseas trip since he took office, President Lam's visit demonstrated Vietnam's consistent policy of always giving the highest priority to strengthening and nurturing the great friendship, special solidarity, and comprehensive cooperation with Laos. The trip is not only a major diplomatic event, but also a vivid manifestation of the special friendship and comprehensive cooperation between the two nations. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Phnom Penh and the Indonesian community in Cambodia collaborated to renovate the Indonesia-Cambodia Friendship Primary and Secondary School in Prey Phang Province, Cambodia. This initiative is a contribution from the Indonesian community to the local community, which coincides with the 65th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Cambodia and the 79th anniversary of Indonesia's independence. The inauguration ceremony of the newly renovated school was held on July 6 and attended by Indonesian Ambassador to Cambodia, Santo Darmo Sumarto, and Governor of Prey Phang, Swan Somalin, as well as Ton Sa Im, representing the Cambodian Minister of Education, Youth and Sports. In addition, donors were also present from the Indonesian community, including Indonesian businessmen in Cambodia and Indonesian citizens living and working in Cambodia. The school renovation, which cost around $34,000, includes updating school equipment, laboratory equipment, tables and chairs, toilets, a school gazebo that can be used for reading or other activities, as well as a new school gate. The donation was fully raised by the Indonesian Embassy in Phnom Penh and the Indonesian community in Cambodia, which currently reaches more than 100,000 people. Ambassador Santo Darmo Sumarto stated that the renovation of the school is a testament to the lasting friendship and cooperation between Indonesia and Cambodia. According to Ambassador Santo, Indonesia has a long history of contributing to the Cambodian community, and the school was first established in 1995. Currently, the Friendship School has around 790 students from kindergarten to junior high school. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Society in Cambodia, Permika, Arik Mintorogo, said that reviving the school not only provides better educational facilities for the students, but also strengthens ties between the two countries. Ambassador Santo further said that the Indonesian Embassy in Phnom Penh and the Indonesian community in Cambodia are committed to ensuring that students at the Indonesia and Cambodia Friendship School have proper facilities for learning. According to Ambassador Santo, these students are the future of bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Cambodia. We'll be right back.
Listener, here is Today in History. Let's start with the aerial catastrophe that occurred on July 11, 1973. Cigarettes were allegedly the reason behind the tragic death of most of the passengers on the famous Brazilian international airline flight Varig 820 in 1973. The catastrophe was triggered by a fire in the toilet by the flying airplane. The burning fire created thick smoke and suffocated the Boeing 707-345C airplane passengers. Being aware of this, the pilot decided to make an emergency landing. The plane, which was scheduled to fly to Orly Airport, Paris, France, from Galeão Airport, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, ended up on an emergency landing in an area around 5 kilometers away from Orly Airport with a massive bang. Despite landing safely, 123 out of 134 passengers and cabin crews were announced to be dead from carbon dioxide poisoning and smoke inhaling. This tragedy is one of the worst aviation accidents caused by a cigarette in the toilet. As a result, Federal Aviation Administration prohibited in-flight smoking. Moving on to the commemoration of World Population Day. World Population Day is commemorated annually on July 11. The event was established by the United Nations Development Program in 1989. The World Population Day commemoration was inspired by public interest in the Day of 5 Billion that was celebrated on July 11, 1987. The approximate date on which the world's population reached 5 billion people. The World Population Day seeks to raise public awareness of population issues such as the importance of family planning, gender equality, mothers' wellness, and human rights. Let's end Today in History with the Mumbai train bombings. On July 11, 2006, 7 bombs exploded over 11 minutes on the suburban railway in Mumbai, India. The train bombings killed 209 people, including 22 foreigners, and injured more than 700 people. The police launched an investigation and hunted the culprit. Eventually, 12 suspects accused to be guilty of the bombings were arrested. They were allegedly members of the Pakistan Islamic Militant, Laskar-e-Taiba, and however, the government of Pakistan rejected the allegation. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
When I first met you there, but I just keep it on my secret place. Well, I am not the only one who adore you anyway, but someday you will know that I am here. I'm just waiting for a moment. Falling, I'm falling. just waiting for a moment to tell you I'm waiting, and I'll make you all mine. Well, I'm waiting, waiting, waiting for you.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on the Ministry of Environment and Forestry highlights the importance of completing Indonesian marine data for conservation. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry emphasized the importance of complete data regarding Indonesian seas in conservation and sustainable use through the determination of ecoregions, and continue to make effort to improve the information health. In the Nusantara Ocean Week discussion on Tuesday, Acting Director of Environmental Impact Prevention for Regional and Sector Policy at the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Sasmita Nugroho, conveyed that ecoregion determination was carried out to provide a detailed understanding of the characteristics of a region based on its ecosystem, including the potential and limitations of an area. Sasmita also explained that the division of ecoregions itself has two types, namely land and water or ocean areas. According to Sasmita, information and data on marine geology throughout Indonesia is not as complete as compared to data on land landscapes. In fact, determining marine ecoregions requires data and information other than geology, including morphology, bathymetry, oceanography, and biodiversity. Sasmita also pointed out that data and information is needed because understanding an area is not limited to just land but also has connections with marine ecosystems. Therefore, the Ministry of Environment and Forestry is collaborating with the National Research and Innovation Agency to obtain additional data regarding shallow marine ecosystems in the country. Besides, Sasmita also continue to make effort to obtain important data for determining marine ecoregions, including regarding humans or communities related to marine activities and ecosystems. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Thank you.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Pulau Sibandang Tourism Village was inaugurated as one of the top 50 best tourist villages in Indonesia in the 2024 Indonesian Tourism Village Award ADWI on July 4th. The village, formed by a collaboration of three villages, Sibandang Village, Papande Village, and Sampuran Village, is one of the 16 sites of the Toba UNESCO Global Caldera Geopark. Pulau Sibandang Tourism Village has a natural abundance surrounded by the eye-pleasing blue water of Lake Toba. While traveling there, you can immediately see the fertile land on Sibandang Island, an outcome of the Mount Toba eruption. The land there is planted with various plants, such as udang mango, the small-sized mango typical of Pulau Sibandang Tourism Village. Pulau Sibandang Tourism Village is located in North Tapanuli Regency, North Sumatra. From Silangit Airport, getting to the Pulau Sibandang area only takes about 45 minutes by land. While arriving at the village, you will immediately see the expanse of the waters of Lake Toba. Besides enjoying the lake view, you can go sailing a wooden boat, watch the traditional dances, go trekking, and go cycling. You can also join the Udang Mango agrotourism. It has a sweet taste with thin flesh. Apart from eating mangoes, tourists can also see the first mango trees hundreds of years old, planted by the Dutch. One of the villages on Pulau Sibandang, Papande Village, is a producer of the woven cloth of Harungguan Ulos. According to legend, Harungguan Ulos were once only worn by kings. Harungguan Ulos clothes that are woven by the community still use traditional looms and natural dyes. In Pulau Sibandang Tourism Village, you can watch people weaving Harungguan Ulos. Besides that, you can also learn the history of the Sibandang Kingdom. There are traces of the kingdom that still stands on Pulau Sibandang, such as the stone fort and Rumah Bolon, which was the king's palace at that time. Some royal era furniture is also still found in Rumah Bolon.
Tinggalkan saja semua persoalan waktu kita sejenak untuk membebaskan pikiran dan biarkan biarkan terbang tinggi sampai melayang jauh menembus awan. Sementara tinggalkan semua aturan yang kadang terlalu mengikat dan tak beralasan man. Memang, memang benar miman, kita perlu cooling down dan melonggarkan pakaian. Kecil yang berlari bertanjang bebas, keluarkan suara-suara canda tawa dan senyum puas. Berteman siraman hujan di lapang yang luas, tak gentar gelegar petir yang mengaum buas. Yang penting semua senang kawan sejak kehadiran. Bumi terkekeh riang, dadaku berdentang. Didi dom, deg-degan daga digiduk.
Yeah. pandang berpegangan tangan erat dan biarkan tubuh tersiram hujan yang lebat dan pekat di bawah naungan awanan gelap terkadang menyilaukan di kala kilat lewat apakah kita kan selalu bersama-sama kawan apakah kita kan selalu berjalan beriringan masih di dalam lebatnya hujan kita berjalan bersamamu kita kan tebarkan senyuman. Yang berlari bertanjang bebas keluarkan suara-suara canda tawa dan senyum puas berteman siraman hujan di lapang yang luas tak gentar gelegar petir yang mengaum buas yang penting semua senang kawan sejak kehadiran bumi terkekeh riang dadaku berdentang didi didi dom didi dom dege degan daga digi du
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners, welcome back to today's edition of Miscellany. Today we are going to talk about LATAP Indonesia 2024. Listener, the National Amateur Cycling Race, a license from L'Étape du Tour by Tour de France. L'Étape du Tour by Tour de France, L'Étape Indonesia 2024 will be held in Solo, Central Java on 28th to 29th of September 2024. Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno said that the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy supports the L'Étape Indonesia 2024, which is expected to strengthen the development of sport tourism in Indonesia. In addition, the implementations of this event can also revive similar events in other areas so as to increase economic turnover and utilizations for the local community. L'Étape Indonesia was previously held in 2022 and 2023 in Mandalika, West Nusa Tenggara. But for this year, L'Étape Indonesia will be held in Solo, Central Java. Later, there will be four categories that can be followed, namely long ride 120 km, medium 80 km, short ride 50 km, and there will be a fun ride that can be followed by the public with a distance of approximately 10 to 15 kilometers. L'Étape Indonesia 2024 will be followed by cyclists from various countries, especially in Southeast Asia. Not only cycling competition, during the 3 days of L'Étape Indonesia 2024, there will also be a food festival and music festival. For the food festival event, 100 micro, small and medium enterprises stands will be participating. Participants will certainly get a safe cycling experience as well as fun and unforgettable moment when participating in this bicycle racing event. Participants will be divided into several platoons that are adjusted to the average speed of the participants. Each platoon will also have a marshal, race captain and co-rider, so that the experience they get is safe and comfortable crossing the path starting from Karanganyar, which is known as the city of a thousand waterfalls, then entering Sukoharjo, also to an area that offers a lot of rice fields. That's miscellany. Bye-bye.
tercipta di benakku. Setelah ku rasakan dalamnya artimu, oh, oh, dalam detik penuh bahagia telah ku coba tuh resapi satu yang terbaik untuk dirimu kini. Sebuah kisah yang telah kita rajut terukir untuk kita jaga di batas bening jiwa yang kita cipta bersama. Telah ku coba untuk meresapi satu yang terbaik untuk dirimu kini. Oh, sebuah kisah yang telah kita rajut terukir untuk kita jaga di batas bening jiwa yang kita cipta bersama.
You are still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we're gonna play a song by Sheila on 7. Sheila on 7, a music group from Yogyakarta, currently consists of Duta as vocalist, Oros as guitar, and Adam as a bassist. They debut with a self-titled album, Sheila on 7. The album seems to revive the era of youth music groups for high school students in Indonesia at the time. The album Sheila on 7 was released in 1999 with the song Dan or N as the main single. Even though the song Dan has a simple composition, the songs managed to set a new record by becoming the number one song on the MTV Ampuh chart for 40 weeks. In addition, the song also managed to become Song of the Year for 2 years in a row. Until now, there has been no Indonesian songs that has managed to match the record for the song created by Eros. The song Dance or N is about someone who lets go of their lover for one goal, so that their lover can be happy and sign again. Listener, this is Sheila on 7 with the song Dan or N. Happy listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
tak percaya lagi dengan apa yang kau beri. Aku terdampar di sini, tersudut menunggu mati. Aku tak percaya lagi akan guna matahari yang dulu mampu terangi sudut gelap hati ini. Cintaku dapat, kenapa ada derita bila bahagia tercipta? Kenapa ada sang hitam bila putih menyenangkan? Cintaku dapat.
Voice of Indonesia.